And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD devotional diamond of the day. On your marks, get set, go. Wow, that's going to be fun. Plus, revealing our hearts. That can be good. Maybe not so good. Also, the Thanksgiving dynamic. Yep, we're going to have to cover that. And the will and the reason.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, I think I'll skip that. Entertainment and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473. 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family. The David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-PRAISE, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gonna take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
Is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs. ThinkSam.com. That's ThinkSam.com. God bless.
Miss Foster, you must alert the authorities immediately.
Why is that, sir?
All these new people we hired have been replaced by alien life forms.
And what makes you say that?
They're all here on time.
That's because they're from helpwantedsandiego.com.
That's their home planet?
No, it's the job site. It's so easy to apply that the number of applies per posting are now up over 57%.
Why are they all smiling so much?
Because they're happy.
Because they're not human.
Could be because they don't have to drive ridiculously long distances.
In their little spaceships.
In their cars.
The pod people do seem to be good at what they do.
Well, we get some of our best hirees through helpwantedsandiego.com.
Do we?
The site is super mobile friendly and the apply process is so easy. The applies are up over 57%, so they have more qualified local employees than ever.
So what is that strange sound I hear? Surely some intergalactic language.
I believe it's called laughter.
Well, at least they've come in peace. But whatever do we feed them?
I'm going to go with lunch. Lower prices to post jobs, mobile friendly, and so easy to apply to great local jobs. HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Long name, amazing results.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Visit ready.gov/kids and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
One in seven Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
So much tension, so much pain. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All righty then. Oh, this is going to be kind of an interesting teaching process. I do want to let you know, if you are interested in getting a hold of us, DavidSpoon at KPRZ.com. Let me check with Tugboat Todd, though, real quickly. I didn't get too much info from him over the weekend. Was your weekend? It was pretty decent. Not a bad weekend, right?
Yeah, it was a great weekend.
Anything in particular? Anything unique?
Helped a friend move, then helped my dad put stuff up in the rafters, and it feels good to help, and got to see my nephew, so that was a good weekend.
Yeah, that's very good. Very good for you. Anything you're looking forward to? Are you watching the game tonight by chance?
I am watching. I'm really interested in see how this turns out here.
Do you think, now we know that Ohio State, Ron, he's going to be really hoping for Cleveland, and you have to appreciate that.
Well, the first couple games I asked him, oh, geez, what's happening to LeBron? He goes, I don't know, I'm not watching.
I don't think it's like an Ohio State game. If they're playing somebody that's really good, like Michigan, and he knows they can lose, he doesn't watch. So he just gets the score all at one time, so he can bottle up his emotions and just deal with it at one moment. But you know who's exactly like that? Me. I can't watch a Red Wings game. My wife doesn't like me watching a Red Wings game, and my dog, Levi Red Wing Spoon, doesn't like me watching a Red Wing game because every other 10 seconds, I am screaming. And then the dog is jumping and barking, and then my wife's covering her ears, and it's usually just between the puck going from one end to the other. Then it gets real serious, It's terrible. Is that bad?
I bet the guys like five blocks down the street, they know the score like the Red Wings game when it's going on.
My mom, when she was alive, once when they had won the cup, she once called me up. They had won the cup 2 years in a row. The second year, she called me up and said, I heard you. And she was in Phoenix. I was in San Diego. Yeah, I thought it was funny. Let's get to it. Let's talk about something that's pretty important, and that is called On Your Mark, Get Set, Go.
On your mark, get set, go!
There you go. All right, so what do you need to know about getting started? On your mark, get set, go. Well, here's something you can know right off the bat. When we are told how to pray by Jesus, when we are given that instruction, there's a couple of times he is asked that and a couple of times he responds. But we get a model, per se, when we look at Matthew chapter 6, when he does the Sermon on the Mount, the most famous speech ever of all time anywhere, period. He says this particular statement in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, pray then in this way, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, notice he doesn't say our mother. He doesn't say our brother. He says our Father. Why did Jesus say our Father? Well, that's just how the interpreters interpret it. Right. God is so bad. He's so bad at what he does. He can't communicate who he is. That's funny. All right. Here's what he's saying. He's saying our Father who is in heaven. What's the first thing? Once the address is properly made, our Father, what? Does what we want? No. Who's in heaven? The center of the universe. Earth is not the center of the universe. It's the center of this redemption project. Well, it's not even the center of the redemption project. It's the result of the redemption process. But he says, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallowed, honor, glory, praise, awe, reverence. What do you get from the very beginning of a manner by which we should pray? And by the way, when Jesus said, when you pray, pray this in this way, he didn't say pray these words. I know people miss that. But he said pray in this manner. He's giving an outline to prayer. And if you break that prayer down, we're going to do that In about two weeks, we're going to do a breakdown of the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to break it down word by word and verse by verse, do an expository on it. But just to start with here, what's the first thing we're getting out of when he's praying? As far, Father, out in heaven, hallowed be our name. Glory to you. Honor. Praise. Man, you're looking great. Man, that sunset was nice. Man, is this earth pretty. Right? It's praise. You don't have to be a genius. It's not hard. when Paul is talking to the church in Rome, he writes in chapter 1, verse 8, first I thank my God. First thing that Paul does, thank God first. First God, praise first. Jesus teaching people to pray. Hallowed be your name, first thing up. One of the first things we should be recognizing is that when you begin your prayers, when you start the process, in every instance that prayer is talked about, so you should get into Philippians, and we'll get into that in a little bit, but you just see in all these instances, praise and thanksgiving is a part of it. I wonder why we are told to be thankful so often. Let me guess. Because we whine a lot. Oh, that would be it. Do you like some cheese with that wine? Because that's what we do, a lot of that whining stuff. We do a lot of that complaining. We do. And instead of being a complaining people, we are supposed to be a grateful people and a thankful people. So one morning I was praying, and I shared this at the church that I was pastoring, but one morning I was praying, and the Lord was trying to show me the difference, and I'm still learning it 10 years later, still learning this lesson. But it was showing me that I was compartmentalizing and planning in my prayer life to such a degree that I was making sure that I said thank you to God, but did not necessarily have an attitude of thankfulness. Now, I want you to catch that. That's a big, big, if you're going to grow up and you're going to be a big boy or a big girl, big catch. There's a difference between saying thank you and being thankful. Thank you is usually the result of thankfulness. But we have used thank you in our society so much, it seems to have lost a lot of its power when we speak it. In fact, it's much more effective in our society to say, I appreciate that, than to say thank you. Now watch that. Why is that? Because we've taken thank you and watered it down. And we've made it almost as normal as hello, goodbye, thank you, please. You know, even please sometimes doesn't have that same impact. But when you say something like, I appreciate you, or I appreciate what you did here, that's conveying a deeper sense or a deeper meaning. That's that thankfulness, a genuineness that's coming forth. And there is a difference in my own prayer life when I say thank you to the Lord versus actually just genuinely in my heart being thankful and grateful. And here's something that's going to blow your mind. While you should say thank you to God on a regular basis in many things, you should be thankful in your heart so often that it's not a light statement that you make, but it's a deep, sincere expression of what's going on in the inside of you. When you say thank you, it's not that that's bad. It's just there's a difference, and there's a watered-down version to that. And when you're praying, you don't just go, I'm supposed to thank you, I'm supposed to be thankful, so thank you, thank you, thank you. It's like you got to really, like, well, here's the word I want to use. You're going to hate this. Ready? You got to feel it. There's got to be something real somewhere. I mean, when you tell your wife you love her, you better love her. Even if you're operating in an agape capacity, you're going to love her as you should, and as a phileo capacity as you should, because that's your wife. But I'm saying it's got to be genuine. It's got to be real. And I think a lot of us get caught up in saying thank you but not being thankful. And there's a difference. There's a difference of, you know, what's in your heart. There's a difference of what's inside of us. So when Jesus was teaching us that, it wasn't that he just wanted us to say, Father out there in heaven, hallowed be your name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debtors, we forgive us. That's just repeating. That's a mantra. We don't want to do that. It was like, you know, when you're praying, do it in this way. Okay. Father, okay, in heaven, you know what? Hallowed be your name. Glory, honor, praise, adoration, appreciation, respect. You are awesome. You don't have to be animated to have a thankful heart. You know, that is one of the differences. People are like, well, I'm shy. Okay, but shyness has nothing to do with your heart connecting to God. And in fact, sometimes you can be thankful better if you be quiet. And just let your heart rejoice in the Lord. You think, well, how do you do that? You let your heart cry out with everything that's in you, telling God you appreciate him. You can do that. Well, it's not like beyond you. But there is a difference between thank yous and thankfulness and thank yous and a thankful heart. And we want to come before the Lord and we want to operate in the Lord, not just in prayer time, but at all times with a thankfulness that is genuine and powerful. When we come back, I'm going to talk about that from the inward perspective. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Take a short break. Come back. Don't go anywhere. Lord, forgive my
sin. The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. If Theresa May wins her expected victory in June's British elections, it will represent the latest evidence of a sweeping international trend, the utter collapse of the old left. Britain's Labour Party dominated the United Kingdom for 13 years under Tony Blair and Gordon Brown, but with radical leader Jeremy Corbyn, it struggled for traction and relevance. The same thing happened in France, where the candidate of the long-dominant socialists finished a dismal fifth in recent elections. In Germany, center-right Chancellor Angela Merkel has already ruled for 12 years and is heavily favored to capture another term in September. And in Israel, the leftist Labor Party that held power for the nation's first 29 years now commands only 16% of their parliament. Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu faces more formidable competition from fellow leaders on the right. In America, as Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and other hardliners drag Democrats leftward, the nation's oldest political party faces much the same fate. I'm Michael Medved.
Separation from a spouse or legal partner is difficult. Plain and simple. Child custody, visitation challenges, spousal support disagreements, and so forth can be incredibly messy if proper legal groundwork has not been set. Family law attorney Robert J. Balmer has been helping separated couples navigate the uneasy waters of divorce and legal separation for over 40 years. Robert is an experienced professional and will always talk to you straight. If you need help with any family law situation, call Robert Balmer, B-A-U-M-E-R, for a free legal consultation. He'll give you good, sound advice about your situation and what should be done. For a free consultation with Robert, call 619-497-0054. The law offices of Robert J. Balmer, a good team to have on your side. 619-497-0054. 619-497-0054.
For centuries, it's been called a land of promise. Today, it's a land of blessing. This year, come and experience for yourself the only place God called my land. Experience Israel this fall and celebrate Jerusalem's 50th anniversary. A once-in-a-lifetime trip awaits as you travel with AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, and Pastor Sean Thornton, host of All Things New Radio. Tour Israel like never before during 9 exciting days. You'll visit Galilee, the Jordan Valley, the Garden Tomb, and many such historic sites. Embolden your faith as you trace back the very steps of Jesus and experience firsthand the beauty of the Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and return home with a renowned vision for your life. A dedicated team of passionate and knowledgeable professionals will lead this tour. 4- and 5-star travel accommodations will give you comfort and safety for the duration of the trip. For full cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. You know, we were talking, we did a What's Bugging Me segment in the last hour, which is funny. Then I just thought of something else. I have a headset. Most people don't know about my headset. It has one ear covered, and then it straps over the top of my head, and then there's no covering on the other ear. So one ear is covered, and one ear is not covered, and that doesn't seem like a big deal. It seems like it'd be kind of comfortable. And the reason that I use one of these is because it gives me a little bit more sound clarity with the one ear being uncovered, so I can hear what's going on and not just depend on the covered ear. Here's the problem. Did you ever shave too much? Did you ever, like, maybe go a little too far in your shaving? Because for me, I don't have a lot of hair. Have you noticed that? Talk about that. Not a lot of hair up there.
Just a little bit.
Yeah. And every once in a while, then I'll take the razor and make sure that I don't look like Bugs Bunny. And so by that, I, you know, so some of those hairs that are coming off my ear that are 9 or 10 feet long, I figure, you know, I'm not trying to Fu Manchu stuff. So, yeah, I probably want to get rid of that thing because I think I any longer and somebody can use it as a noose around me. And so I'll cut that every once in a while to kind of keep things clean and proper and all that other stuff. And unfortunately, when I did that, I did the nick. You ever do the nick? That's what a septic stick is really for. It's not for your chin, it's for your ear. And so I nicked it. Unfortunately, it's on the ear that's covered. So with it covered, I can feel it like pushing against it.
What's the stick called?
A septic stick. You never used a nick stick.
It's septic stick?
Well, you never used a nick stick?
I did, but I don't know. I think it's septic.
I think it's sep stick or something. I don't know. How am I supposed to know? Do I look like an aficionado? Why don't you look that up so you can tell me what I'm talking about? This is why I have a producer, so he can tell me what an idiot I am. I already know I'm an idiot. I need somebody to tell me? Are you kidding? I grew up in Detroit. Let me know what it is. What is it called? A septi stick or whatever. What is it? Where is it? Well, I used to call it a nick stick. What is it called?
You know what? I have to eat crow on this. It's called a septic stick.
Well, how do you do? I don't want to say I told you so, because that would be rubbing it in to say I told you so. But yeah, I thought that's what it was called. But anyway, it's a nick stick. I got a really big one. It's enormous. You know, they use that for like boxers and stuff like that, only they use the balm and stuff. All right, let's get to the next segment. We were talking about On Your Mark, Get Set, Go, starting off with prayer, but recognizing, and for maturity's sake, recognizing that, you know, you got to have a thankful heart more than just saying thank you. Now we're going to hear a sound that has to do with revealing your heart. What do you got for our sound on this one?
That the Grinch's small heart grew 3 sizes that day.
That's right. Your heart can grow 3 sizes. Here's what you got to know about what's inside you. All right? I will confess first. Everybody can line up behind me. I will confess first that I am situationally thankful more than I am genuinely thankful, which means that depending on how something pans out will depend on whether I use the why did you allow that theory to happen. You know, and you can say, people can say all the time, oh, and I've actually had somebody look me right in the face and say, I never do that. I'm thankful about everything. Except they didn't like me, so I knew that was untrue, because it's like, well, you're not thankful for me. I mean, I'm just saying, the point is, it's not the way it is. People don't do it perfectly. But there is a seeking to walk in a way that shows a genuine thankfulness to the Lord, and not just saying thank yous, but really having it meaningful and from the heart. Look at what Ephesians 5 says. Fascinating passage in Ephesians 5, 18 through 20. It says, be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Give thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A couple of things I want to say about this is be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Now, for those that have been around for about 900 years in the faith, kind of like I have, there's no joke worse than somebody saying, I know that the Lord loves my singing, you know, because it says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And then people go, That's like the oldest, worst joke ever. So all the ministers, they use it. Stop it. It's like 100 years old. It's terrible. Number two, be filled with the Spirit. And then it tells you how, addressing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. There is a singing communication that takes place to one another. You'd have seen Ohio State Ron and I on that golf cart. You would have thought it was a play in New York, a melody play, one of those Broadway hits kind of thing, because it was like that. All you needed was the background music. Da, 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 da. But we're supposed to have this attitude inside of us that talks about spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything. A PhD professor wrote an entire thesis on that you should not give thanks for everything. Do you know what the result of that professor's paper was? He spent an enormous amount of time arguing with God about being thankful. That was the result. In other words, the convincing point was he's just not thankful for everything. But the scripture says twice. You know you're not supposed to have a double negative in a sentence, right? Well, here's a double positive, right? Right here. You get, it's right here. Give thanks. Ready? Always. Wait. And for everything. I don't know how you get clearer. Oh, I'm sorry, Dave. Are you telling me I should give thanks for my sin and my failings? Well, I'll just cite a couple of ministers, and you tell me where you want to go with this. Dr. David Jeremiah, Dr. John MacArthur, you know you want me to go to Chuck Smith, Dr. Jack Hayford, the Albert Mohler, all these people recognize that if you did not recognize your sin and your failing, you would never understand the redemptive love of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you want to ask me that question again and then tell me what the value is on knowing the redemptive love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Would it be better if man didn't sin? Sure, but can God take something that is horrible and turn it into something that is fantastic? Only multiple times do the scriptures declare that. So we're supposed to give thanks always, that's one, and for everything, that's two. It's like, well, what would not be covered under always and everything? Nothing. That would be the whole point, right? For everything we're supposed to be, and for always we're supposed to be thankful to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in fact, Malachi 2:17 says, you've wearied the Lord with your words. Have you asked, how have we wearied him? You say, everyone who does what is evil is good in God's sight, and he's pleased with them. Or where is the God of justice? It's all of that's complaining about how God does stuff. And the weariness that comes to the Lord from our words is when we're whining. I'm not a theologian. I'm a theologian, I guess, in training. I'm not a theologian. But here, get this. If you're whining to the Lord, you're sinning. And you're complaining, and you're certainly not being thankful. And don't give me a, you don't understand my situation, because God doesn't give you that. He doesn't say, give thanks always and everything except for your situation, Timmy. It doesn't say that. It says always and everything, period. And it's like, you expect me to be thankful? No, I don't. God does. I don't expect you to do anything, but God does. God expects you to be thankful all the time in every way. Always. That doesn't seem reasonable. Too bad. You're already complaining. You haven't even listened. You're complaining already. You're whining before you get out of the gate. When we come back, we're going to look at something that you might not be aware of. Going to be a little tough. Every time I review it, I have to repent. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
It truly is another sky. It gives me strength to walk beside you.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him.
When Da'ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, I will never believe your God and change my religion. But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
I'm convinced that great marriages are rooted in self-denial.
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainer for Monday, June 12th.
Self-denial, I would say that would mean abstaining from probably your favorite thing. After getting married, there will be much self-denial in which way my eyeballs wander. Absolutely no more hanging out with the friends at the bars late at night.
As a young husband, I wasn't in the habit of hanging out at bars, but I did have quite a bit to learn about self-denial. I remember going fishing with one of my children one Saturday morning. There was Barbara standing on the porch, left with a couple of kids in diapers, while I headed off to the lake to go have a good time. I realized I needed to give up some of my hobbies for a while in order to reduce her burden. So I stopped taking those trips to the lake. But you know what happened? Once the youngest kids grew older, Barbara began to encourage me to take them fishing. I now see her standing on that same porch, waving goodbye with a smile. One final thought. Pleasing your mate will always involve some form of self-denial. Giving up a hobby for the sake of your marriage is well worth it. Hobbies come and go, but if you invest in your relationship, it will last for a lifetime. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
This is John MacArthur with another edition of Portraits of Grace. Of all the wars, the Vietnam War may have been the most frustrating. Many Vietnamese peacefully worked the rice paddies by day, yet put on the black garb of the Viet Cong soldier by night and invaded unsuspecting U.S. forces. Well, spiritual warfare is similar. Like the Viet Cong, Satan uses deceit to disguise himself as an angel of light and prowl about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Even his emissaries disguise themselves as servants of Christ. That's why you need wisdom and discernment to identify them and defend yourself against their attacks. Spiritual warfare is real, and God has given you all the resources you need to defend yourself. They're in His Word, which will give you victory over Satan's evil intentions. This is John MacArthur, looking forward to bringing you more Portraits of Grace.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Most of my life it feels like I've been running.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. All right, so we got just a couple things I was just going over in my brain. It doesn't take long. It's just from one end to the other. So you got Addie Bug. She's doing really good. She's feeling better because she was sick, so I'm glad about that. And then we have the new baby, who I'm calling Jacob, which is the only name that the child won't be, but it's going to be a boy, so it's a grandson. Then I have Carter Bear, and we did that song. You still have that song for Carter Bear? Yeah, we got to find that. I mean, I just think that's legendary. And so, you know, things are hopping along, moving along piece by piece. Happy with the family. But I've learned a few things that I don't like. You know how you think, well, gosh, I'm the grandparent, so I know. And there's a lot of people out there listening to me that are grandparents. But you think you know better. But you know, one of the things that the Lord's been teaching me about being a grandparent is that I'm not allowed to be the parent. I don't necessarily like that. In other words, as much authority or control as a patriarch might think they are supposed to have, do you know who is in charge of those kids is the Lord and then the child's parents. The grandparents aren't in charge. So sometimes you have to just allow things to unfold. And then the other part about it is I think I know so much because I'm a grandparent, right? But I don't know anything about being a grandparent yet. I haven't even really done it yet. It's only been a year and a half. And even if you have great grandkids, I'm not sure that you ever stop learning this process of love, support, strengthening, praying for, and caring for a family. So my admonition there is even if you are a grandparent, which is better than being a parent in the sense that you get to see all those truths, but you're still growing in the Lord. He's still teaching you because the parenting skills of God are so far above humans that there is more to learn and more to grow and more to understand. So I'll pray for you, which I've been doing for the audience. You guys pray for me, and that way we're all getting prayed for. All right, so we started this off by talking about that the way that we should intro or enter into or be connected to the Lord is starting off with a thankful heart, not just a thank you expression, but a thankful heart to the Lord. And that's where things should start in the Lord when we're praying and talking, communion, having communion with the Lord. We should be a thankful people, which is why when you go to church, what's the first thing they do in church when you go to church? What happens? What's the first thing? The very first thing that, besides the opening prayer, is they do praise music. They do worship. You do some kind of hymns, some kind of song, some kind of singing. Why? Because that's appropriate. Because that's right. That's the way that the Lord instructed us. But you don't want it just to be words. And if it's just going to be words, do yourself a favor. Don't use any words and just be thankful from within in your heart. And then when you look at a passage like Ephesians 5:20, which really kind of shows us on the target of life where we're at, where Ephesians 5:20 says, give thanks always and for everything, you can tell if you're a thankful person or not. Not just by the thank yous, but are you thankful always and for everything? There's a guy named Merlin Carruthers who wrote a book called Power to Praise. The guy got crucified because he was more charismatic than he was Baptist or Pentecostal. But his big crime was encouraging people to say, you know, to have a heart of gratefulness and to be thankful to God and to say thank you on a pretty regular basis. His crime was trying to get people to be more thankful. This is where the church, I think, kind of misses. You get a scripture like Ephesians 5:18 through 20, and it's like, look, that's what the passage tells you to do. It doesn't give you an exception. It has a double positive right in the middle of it, and it's like, no, you're supposed to be thankful. He might not have written in a brilliant fashion, and he might have had some flaws in the theology, but his ideology was better than most people's ideology all day long. Be thankful. Have a thankful heart. Well, that's a good idea. How is that wrong? So here's something that I came across because of somebody like Merlin Carruthers, and I had the privilege to share this with him before he passed on. And this comes out of Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. It's actually called the Thanksgiving Dynamic. Do we have a sound on the Thanksgiving Dynamic? What do you
think? I love turkey on Thanksgiving.
That Adam Sandler? That's pretty funny. Listen, this passage, you're not even going to make this connection. I didn't make this connection. I woke up one morning and I think the connection was made for me. Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. Each of the four living creatures had six wings. They were covered with eyes around and inside. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is coming. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is, and who is coming. A lot of translations would say, who is yet to come, or, you know, who was, is, and is coming, you know, yet to come, who is coming. Here's the key. The Lord God Almighty is the God of who was. What's who was? That's the past. Who is? What's who is? That's the present. And who is coming or yet to come? What is that? The future. What do you get from that? Ready? Here's the big theologue moment. You get to recognize that God is the Lord God Almighty of the past, the present, and the future. You want to know where the Thanksgiving dynamic comes in? This is the tough one right here. Ready? That means that if you believe that God is the God of the past, the present, and the future, and you believe that you should be a thankful person, that you have no justification in complaining about the past. No bitterness permitted. Because when you're complaining about the past, you're complaining about how God, who was God of the past, didn't do what you wanted, or it didn't turn out the way you wanted. And that's wrong. Not that you can't want something different. It's that you can't be complaining against God because your past isn't what you think it should have been. That doesn't work. He is the God of the past, the present, and the future. If you complain about the past, you're still complaining to God. about God. Your bitterness is not going to work. He's the God of the present, of the Almighty who was and who is, which means that there has to be in the present a trusting and a confidence instead of a fearfulness and a doubting. And that requires us also to express that with a thankful heart, a thankful disposition. Thankful about the past, thankful about the present. Get this, he's also the God who is coming, and so we have to be thankful for the future too. Here's the key, and this is what I got to share with Merlin Carruthers. You have to be thankful in the past, in the present, and the future, which pretty much covers it all. You have to just be thankful. Now, does that mean you go around and you smile and you look like somebody just shocked you with 9,000 volts? No. But it means that complaining against God about how God is being God is a sin, no matter what time zone you're in. If you're in the past, the present, or the future. And the dynamic of Thanksgiving is to be thankful that God has arranged all that he had arranged in your past to get you to a certain place. Thankful that you are in what you are in because he has brought you there, and thankful where he will bring you out. And when you are not, you are telling God he's terrible at being God. Good luck. Let me know how it goes. Let me know if you walk funny, because that's dangerous. There's no bitterness allowed for the past. There's a trusting and confidence for the present. And there's an attitude of a better tomorrow for the future. And when we lose that, we miss it big. We miss it, man. We can't do that. And if you walk around with a chip on your shoulder and a resentment, and I happen to know somebody that was in my life in the past, they walk around with the biggest resentment that people have actually told me, I can't stand being around this person. Why? Because they are so Eeyored out, they always talk about what could have been, what should have been, what would have been. All of this is like, get over it. It's over. You can't do anything about it. Move forward. Let it go. Move on now. Guess what happened tomorrow? Who cares? It's over. Or yesterday. Who cares? You can't do anything about it. It's gone. You can sing all the Beatles songs you want. It's over. Move on. Move on. Today is today. Tomorrow is tomorrow. You can do nothing about the past. Crying about it ain't going to change it. You have to recognize the Thanksgiving dynamic is in the past, the present, and the future. Or you can get caught in one of those time zones being bitter and being dark. Let it go. Who knows? Tomorrow, the Lord might come back and you won't care anyway. All that worrying for nothing, huh? Wow. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Take a short break, and we'll come back with the close. Don't go anywhere.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
A majority of Americans say religion can answer most problems. This is Truth Itself. I'm Bob Dittmer. The findings come from a Gallup poll taken in May. It found that 55% of Americans say religion can answer all or most of today's problems. Although the percentage has declined substantially over time, it has been relatively stable over the past year and a half and is up from the all-time low of 51% in May of 2015. In 1957, a time of greater religious commitment in the U.S., 82% of Americans said that religion could answer all or most of the day's problems. As recently as 2002, 66% of U.S. adults expressed the same sentiment, but the measure has declined since then. The broad trend aligns with declines in church attendance and fewer Americans saying they believe in God or a creationist viewpoint. Meanwhile, the 34% of Americans who today say religion is largely old-fashioned and out of date is up from 7% in 1957 and near the all-time high of 35%. The remaining 10% of Americans today have no opinion on whether religion can solve today's problems.
As might be expected, people's commitment to religion factors into their views of religion's role in solving today's problems. Among those who report attending church every week, 85% say religion answers most problems, compared with 33% of those who seldom or never attend. More than 20 years ago, a group of Christian pioneers partnered in a bold new approach to healthcare based on principles found in God's Word. They called it MediShare. Today, with over 200,000 members, it's a national community of believers who love God and share each other's medical expenses, and it's half the cost of insurance. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. The phone number is 844-49-BIBLE. That's 844-49-BIBLE. You can see these stories and more on our website, truthitself.com. Truth Itself, news that impacts your faith, family, and country.
In the ancient world, a city without a wall was issuing an open invitation to its enemies to walk right in. When the Jewish captives returned to Jerusalem from Babylon, the first thing they did was rebuild the city walls. Working night and day, Nehemiah led the workers to complete the wall in an astonishing 52 days. Proverbs 26:28 says there is a spiritual equivalent to a city wall that can protect a person throughout life. And that wall is self-control. A person without self-control is like a city without a wall, making himself vulnerable to all sorts of dangerous attacks. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how God's Spirit produces self-control on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRX, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Been talking about having a thankful attitude. I know people go, the attitude of gratitude. Slap it on a book. It should be a bestseller. Hey, it's on a book. The book, 66 authors. 66 books, I mean, 40 authors written over 3,500 years, and it's 2,000 years old. Plus, 5,000 in some cases. Here's the bottom line. This is nothing new. It's just reality. And in our society today, there is nothing but complaining. I'm surprised that America is not the wine capital of the world because we do more complaining than anybody I know. But here's the kick. You got to start your day, start your prayer, start your life, start your mind with a thankfulness with God. Thankfulness for God, thankfulness to God, thankfulness with God. You have to have this attitude, this disposition that says, I am not just saying thank you, I am thankful. And by the way, to be thankful means you're full of thank. That's what it means. So you just got to work through that. We got to work through that. And then you get into a scripture like Ephesians 5:20, which says, a double positive says this way. It says, give thanks always and for everything, which just leaves nothing that is not covered. And then we dipped into Revelation 4:8 to understand that it doesn't matter about the past, doesn't matter about the present, doesn't matter about the future, because your thankfulness is required in every time zone, period. No exceptions. So you come down to this key, and this is one of my fave passages. Dave, you got a fave? This is one of them, top five. Philippians 3:8-9 is my fave, but this is in itself like almost the answer for everything. This is like John 3:16, but not for salvation, but for functionality as a Christian. This passage. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says this, give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Again, you have some people trying to be, you know, brilliant teachers going, well, that doesn't mean every circumstance. Right. You know, it's God. He can't communicate anything he wants to say. What are you talking about? It's exactly what it means. Every circumstance. You can't tell me I should be thankful for a death. Oh, so if you're going to tell me that you're not thankful to all that God does, if that person's a Christian, they're closer to Christ. So you tell me you're not thankful? I'm just saying, there's so many ways to approach it. And by the way, I'm a person who probably is somebody who's not going to make it. I'm still thankful for the time I had with the person. It's like you can't get away from giving thanks in every circumstance, because to do so means you have a right to complain against God. Is God the master of all that goes on? Is he in control? Are you telling me that Satan operates outside of the realm of God, that you can actually function behind God's back? Oh, come on. It says, give thanks in every circumstance. Wait, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You're looking for God's will. Some of you searching high and low for the specific will of God. Well, fantastic. This scripture tells you the general will of God right now. You want to know what it is you're supposed to do with your fingerprints, you keep pursuing. But if you can't do the general will of God, why is he going to tell you the specific will? If you can't do that which he makes absolutely clear, why are you going to get revelation to that which is more in a mysterious fashion? What's just insane. I have people, I'm just looking for the will of God. Try 1 Thessalonians 5:18, 19, 20. Why? Because that's what it says. Give thanks in every circumstance, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Oh, David, he can't mean everything. No, I'm pretty sure this is the fifth time now we've encountered the word everything. Like, no. The problem is we don't like everything. That's the problem. But then again, we don't understand everything. That's the truth. That's where trust comes into play. But you're looking for the will of God, and I look for the will of God all the time. And we're looking for the will of God and what the Lord wants us to do in 2018. We do it every single year. Doesn't matter what conclusion I come to, it's not going to escape me being thankful, because that's his will, plain and simple. So then it becomes the question, can I execute there? Will I execute? It's not can I execute. That scripture tells me to. Will I execute that? That's different. That depends on whether I'm walking with a truly thankful heart or I'm harboring anger and bitterness. And not just towards people, but say it out loud, because God already knows. Some of you have anger in your heart towards God because you don't like the way things went down. And it's like, I get it, but it's not justifiable. I understand it as a human being who has sinned, just like Job. Even the Apostle Paul, take this thing from me. And God's like, nope. Understand, it's just not justifiable. But it happens, and people go through it, and you can repent for it and be honest and truthful about it. But in everything, give thanks. And every time somebody's trying to oppose that, just answer this one question. Why are you trying to oppose that? What bothers you about that so much that you can't just give God glory and acknowledge he knows what he's doing, even though you don't know what's going on? Is that what bugs you? But we're not God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. Okay? Thankful in every circumstance. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Gotta take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk with you then.
Democracy requires that citizens actually talk with each other. When we're no longer capable of that, things fall apart. Stay tuned to Breakpoint.
From the Colson Center for Christian Worldview, here's John Stone Street with Breakpoint.
If there's an emblem of the hysteria gripping American politics these days, it might just